Good morning, good morning. This is Dave Mazza.
And I'm Joanne Bowman.
And you're listening to Voices from the Edge.
And we're a little edgy this morning.
We're a little edgy, sorry. Yeah. And it's not the caffeine that's doing it, but two things going on. Number one, of course, is we want to remind you that we're in the midst of our fall pledge drive, and we're always edgy because we need funding to keep this sort of programming out there on the air, and we're going to be talking about that a little later and encouraging you to call 503-232-8818 or toll-free 877-500-5266.
And if you're like me and a multitasker in the morning, you can also go to kboo.fm and make your pledge there.
Oh, thank you for reminding us of that. And the other reason we're edgy, and we're always edgy on this, is because today we're going to be talking once again about the Portland Police Bureau, because they have been, as usual, in the news quite a bit lately. To quote Oregonian columnist Anna Griffin, the banner headlines have made them appear to be like thugs with badges, which the fact that the Oregonian is saying that is quite remarkable. But specifically, we want to talk about, there's a confluence of things going on here. We have the police contract coming up for renewal, which is, you know, flying in under the radar screen. We have the recent decision by the auditor's office to conduct an investigation into the way the James Chasey case was handled. And also, of course, there is a community response to the failure to adequately or even discipline at all the officers involved in that case. And to talk about that this morning, we have with us Jason Renault of the Mental Health Association of Portland, a group that's been very importantly involved in trying to see that justice gets done in the case of James Chasey. And thank you, Jason, for being with us this morning.
Good morning.
Well, why don't we start just briefly with what's going on, because today you are, in fact, going to be having a press conference specifically around the Chasey case. And what is it that's going to be, what is your purpose of your meeting there?
Well, this morning culminates really 3 years of advocacy in reminding the community about what happened to Jim. And we've come to a conclusion because the city has come to a conclusion about what to do and how to find accountability for this event. And we're really unsatisfied with that conclusion. So we're asking the officers themselves today to turn in their badges and to resign their positions. We feel that this is a more likely outcome than the city coming to a ability to terminate the officers.
And so for our listening audience that hasn't been following this case as thoroughly as those of us in this room, so 3 years ago, September 17th, 2006, right, was the date that James Chasey was brutalized by Portland police officers on a downtown street. There was this allegation that he was urinating on the sidewalk. And what we know is that there were significant injuries to him. He was put in the back of a police car, taken to the police station. The nurse at the station decided not to, refused to actually admit him because of his medical injuries, and he died en route to the hospital.
That's
right?
Correct.
And so for 3 years, the community had been waiting for the police to conclude an investigation to see who was going to be held accountable for this brutal beating on our downtown streets. And then just a few weeks ago, Chief Sizer came out and said they had completed their investigation internally. They found one officer culpable, and only because he didn't take him to the hospital immediately after the incident on the street. I'm continuing to hear from lots of people how outraged people are. We keep hearing that these kind of activities are within the scope of the policy of the Portland Police Department. Any reasonable thinking individual would have to think, how is that possible that somebody could be allegedly urinating on the sidewalk and then end up dead in an interaction with police? And I know that your group has really been following this and pushing to get the chief to come out with some kind of resolution. And so you're going to go today and you're going to ask these three officers that were involved. Well, there were many more than three officers, but these were the main three officers that were involved in Chasey's death. And so, I mean, clearly you don't think that they're just going to go, okay, and go home, right, and turn in their badges and go.
Well, I don't think that anyone has thought over these 100 minutes more than these three officers. Hmm. I think that they have been captured in this event more than almost anyone else. Hmm. And they may want to be able to take the high road out and do the right thing. And really, their resignations would solve an enormous number of problems here. They would immediately restore our confidence in our police department. This is not about all police officers at all. Police officers in Portland are, for the most part, well-managed, well-trained, well-supervised, well-equipped, and do a great job. This is about three officers who made a terrific mistake on one day, and we're not certain that anything about those individuals have changed over the past 3 years. Our friends and supporters are concerned that if they call the police, if they're having a mental health emergency and they call the police, that those officers might show up.
We talked a little bit about this before we came on air. One of the issues, isn't it, that really it really transcends these three officers, or if we look at any of the other more recent incidences of police misconduct, it transcends those individual officers and really comes to this question of, in Portland, where we have the issue of the policy, because in fact, you know, oftentimes what we keep seeing is there's some sort of incident, a citizen gets brutalized, some sort of investigation takes place, whether, you know, the value of that, you know, is up for debate, but the investigation takes place and the findings are the officers complied with policy. Yet we never go to the next step and start having at the city council level a discussion about, and I should make a caveat on that. I will say that I think once Charlie Hales actually raised this issue and it never went anywhere, which involved, you know, why do we have a policy that allows, that says it's okay for police to use such excessive force?
Right.
Well, the dilemma is that, and where this the politicians leave us hanging, is that this erodes the trust and confidence that average folks have with police officers. Mm-hmm. Imagine an incident where an officer is needing to make an arrest. If the person he's needing to make an arrest has some concern about whether this officer is going to brutalize them, it's more likely that they will react and someone's going to get hurt. This is a situation where our politicians are actually endangering us by not having a forward, clear, transparent process. And the result is impunity. And impunity is just a tremendous corrosive to community government. Once we lose that belief that justice can prospectively happen, what are we doing here?
You know, Jason, I also want to challenge that it's just these three individual officers. You may remember just on the 28th of September, there was a front page Oregonian article about three African-American men leaving downtown that sued the police and were awarded $175,000 for a false arrest. And had it not been for community members actually hanging out and hiding so that they could observe what was taking place, I wonder how many of these cases where it's just a community member's word against a police officer get thrown out of court every single day. And so I think the problem is much more systemic than just a couple of bad apples, because that's what we've heard over the years. You know, we may have a couple of officers that don't know, used excessive force. But, I mean, it's like it's article after article. I mean, this woman just with a mental illness just got a $27,000 settlement for a police officer having sex with her while he was on duty, right? Coercing her into having sex. So from where I sit, this seems to be a systemic problem that that the police refuses to deal with, that the city council refuses to deal with, and the community is left with nothing but the ability to take them to court. And thank goodness those three gentlemen actually had eyewitnesses that had absolutely nothing to do with the case, because I can't imagine that case turning out that way without those witnesses. And so it raises another question. When community members stand and watch and observe police behavior, the police first response is to tell them they have to leave and threaten them with arrest. And so And so I do think that the problem is a fundamental policy problem that we have not addressed. And so you're going to have a press conference today. The goal is to ask these officers to resign their position. And so what happens after that?
Well, we'll be joined by several other groups. The Albina Ministerial Alliance mm-hmm. has joined our call to action. And Mental Health America of Oregon has joined us. And then also the Disability Rights of Oregon. And we'll all be speaking and asking for these resignations. I think that it's quite possible that they could actually take this opportunity to say, listen, I am the problem here. I'm an imminently employable person in any other community. Mm. I don't carry this with me. I'm not guilty of a crime. I'll go be a police officer in another city or go drive a truck. There's a lot of other things to do in life rather than sit and fight.
Hmm. Well, and for those of you just tuning in, we're talking this morning with Jason Renaud of the Mental Health Association of Portland, and his organization, along with a number of other groups, are holding a press conference this morning requesting the voluntary resignation of the three police officers who were involved in the tasing and beating of James Chasey, a Portland man who died 3 years ago while in police custody. If you want to join us in the conversation, you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. This is that time of year when we're throwing out lots of phone numbers at you, but that's the way to get involved in the conversation. We're going to have to go to a pledge break here in just a minute, but if these three officers resign, should we be then moving to the next step of inquiring about the structure in terms of how the police bureau is managed? It's a political football. Do we need to be looking at some other structure to be created to manage the police rather than, you know, having it at the whim of, a city commissioner?
Well, the police department and the city have done, and the state and the county have done some significant changes since Jim died, and those are important to recognize and acknowledge. But this question of the police union steward keeps bringing up that the police officers were acting normally. They're acting within policy. They're acting within the acceptable arenas of police behavior. This really condemns all other officers and needs to be worked out.
Okay, well, we're gonna pick that thread back up here in just a minute. But now, first, we're going to bring a couple of other folks in here. Whoa, and a little feedback, too, as well. A couple of other folks in here to join us in the conversation regarding how we keep programming like Voices from the Edge and all the other great programming at KBOO going.
Well, I'm so glad that you brought us in. This is Bill. I am sitting with O.B. Hill. And I just had to make one comment, Dave.
Yeah.
And that's we will have to go to pledge break. Have to? We are delighted to have a chance to share our membership break with you.
I stand chastised.
Okay. And the way we do that is by having you call us, 503-232-8818. Or if from out of town, 877-500-5266. And actually, Dave did indeed just say why you should be calling, because they are covering something that, unfortunately, you get a lot less of in the mainstream press. We need to know these things because we need to be able to be engaged citizens. And if we are ignorant, it's very hard to get engaged. So you want to come to KBOO to find out this information on Voices from the Edge, to find out, you know, the national, international stuff you hear on Democracy Now. All of these things keep KBOO listeners better informed than pretty much anybody else. And you can help us keep there by calling 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266.
Good morning, Joanne. How are you doing?
Wonderful, OB. So glad to see you here in the studio.
Yes, ma'am. Listen, KBOO provides some of the most interesting programming that you're going to find anywhere, all the way from international news to the local level. How can you get away from supporting something like that? I know there's one of you out here right now who wants to call within the next 5 minutes and make your $60 pledge to become a new member and get one of those T-shirts. So with that, let me say call 503-232-8818. Or if you're out of town, call toll-free 877-500-5266. Or if you want to get on that computer of yours and dial KBOOFM online. I'm going to let my friend here talk to you again because, Bill, you know what the pitch is all about.
Yes, well, you know, I just want to jump right on in here, okay, and say, you know, I think people listen to KBOO because they get their needs met, right? And yes, whether it's their music needs, whether it's the political understanding, whether it's the mobilizing efforts that we always get people involved in. I mean, clearly our guest today is a great example about how we give people information that they can take action on right away. We want to make sure that people have the information to be really productive. And so that's why we want people to join us and become members. And for as little as $5 a month, that ends up being $60 a year. You can just give us a call at 503-232-8818, or you can go toll free if you're outside the Portland metro area at 877-500-5266. And I think OB Hill is a perfect example of a community member who's one of those quiet heroes in our community, but is taking the time to come here this morning and volunteer his time to help us raise money during this pledge drive. And so if you are not a morning person, you can always go online to kboo.fm.
Or if you're out for a walk, and by the way, I just wanted to say what she said. if you're out for a walk, you can stroll on over to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and come right in and see Joanne and Dave in the studio and OB and me right here in the membership room. And it will be a delight to, show you around, give you a cup of coffee. And thank you so much for calling 503-232-8818, 877-500-5266. And let's go back to Joanne and Dave.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Obi. And remember, just because we're shifting gears here, you can still get on the phone and give a call and make a pledge and support KBOO.
And we should also thank Jason for his contribution this morning and renewing his membership.
Oh, yes.
And so we want to thank you very much for doing that. We love it when our guests come in with their checks ready and they're just, you
know. I saved a stamp.
It's a new policy we have. Guests must pay.
Oh, no, the FCC did not hear you.
Yeah, right. He was joking, people.
Yes, it's a joke.
Yeah, so moving back into our program, I mean, this is a really serious issue. And, you know, the seriousness of this issue is that it pops up every couple of years, right? And so, and normally it's the people with the least power in our community that are the ones that are most impacted by policies that don't seem to make sense to the common person.
Right. The mental health community is really inheriting this mantle from other communities of disenfranchisement. We're just sort of coming to terms and abilities to advocate for ourselves. And so we're able now to do this sort of work in, where we never have been before.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that's fabulous to know that there's another community that's organizing itself to use this voice to get these policy changes made. And unfortunately, the more we have these kind of incidents, and I showed you folks a list of the top 25 police settlements from 93 to 2008 with a total of over $4.5 million that we, the taxpayers, have paid out to community members because of actions that were taken by the police. And so, when you see it all together, you think, well, oh my gosh, what could we have done with $4.5 million if we had a police force that really was trained effectively to actually be able to engage communities without using the kind of force that we've come to expect from Portland police officers.
Yeah, that money number is just the most crude measurement. I mean, if you think of the pain and suffering for both the officers involved and the family members, it's just a tremendous hit to our community and an insult to our ability to have a civil society.
Right.
Our guardians should keep us safe, and we should never be afraid of them.
Well, that's absolutely true. And I can tell you that there's certainly a lot of people that would think three and four times before they would call the police to come out if they were in need of help. I mean, I know community members that just would not call the Portland police.
That is a real problem in the mental health community, because we rely on police officers so regularly and somewhat predictably to help escort folks to hospital or to clinic. The police officers play a very vital role, and any delay in calling them when they're needed puts families in danger.
Well, we're talking this morning to Jason Renaud of the Mental Health Association of Portland. We're talking specifically about his organization and a number of other community groups working with his organization, who are going to be calling for the voluntary resignations of the officers involved in the death of James Chasey 3 years ago. But we're going to also be broadening that discussion here as we go along. Want to join us in the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187, and we're going to go to the phone lines because we do have some callers waiting. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for your guest. We talk about the police, but there is a little-known department within the city of Portland called Risk Management, basically the internal insurance agency.
Right.
A lot of folks that are lawyers go there, and they analyze complaints against the police department and other bureaus, ostensibly for settlement for payments. And more often than not, it seems that that department tends to side with the city and deny payments on things such as violations of civil rights or, in this case, a wrongful death. Perhaps you can comment on that. And then I also have an additional note, which is it's interesting, and maybe you want to get her on as a guest. The current vice president of the KBOO Board of Directors works for that agency and is actually, I guess, does civil rights cases. And I'd love to see what her perspective is, if she's allowed to speak, about denial of payment for civil rights violations. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, I know the Office of Risk Management exists. We don't know very much about them. We're mental health advocates. We advocate for persons with a mental illness, and it's an important area, but a nuance beyond my capacity to comment on.
I know that their job is to advise the city about whether or not actions that they're taking are going to result in lawsuits, right? I think that's a good idea, though, I would be surprised, actually, if somebody from the Office of Risk Management would come on our program and tell us how they make these decisions based on policy, whether or not the cost, the amount, the dollar cost is worthwhile based on those policies. I don't know if they're looking at police policy saying, you know, based on this policy, we assume we're going to have to pay out a minimum of XYZ. But I actually think that it actually feeds on itself, because community members are being like abused by police when they try to just stand and observe. And whether we've taught people, you don't interfere. You just stand across the street and you watch, and you make sure you're visible to the police as well as to the community member, so they know someone is watching. But police have started responding to that by threatening arrest and demanding that people move along, because they know that if witnesses are there, then their behavior is under scrutiny. And I think it's in the community's best interest to actually be scrutinizing that behavior, because, you know, we all end up paying when those incidents go horribly wrong.
The litigation also happens when when community members don't feel resolved by regular community forums and opportunities
process,
to complain.
Right.
When those are ineffective, and this is what we get calls regularly from persons who feel that they've been injured somehow by some institution, we just send them to lawyers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's really not a venue where we feel much confidence that some resolution will happen.
Well, they've already been brutalized. Why make them be brutalized by a bureaucratic process that isn't going to do anything? Well, let's go back to the phone lines quickly here, because I know Jason has to take off here in a bit for his conference. We have Jerry on the line. Good morning, Jerry.
It's Jeremy.
Anyway, Jeremy.
Oh, sorry.
First of all, I'd like someone to say what time this press conference is, in case some of us might want to run down and join it.
Well, it's actually in a very small office in a law firm downtown, so it's at 9 o'clock.
Not open to the public.
Well, what I'd really like you to do is to send an email, a quick email to your city council person, and say, ask them to join us today in calling for the resignation. They really haven't had an opportunity to speak out themselves, And, you know, we're not asking them to speak about the merits of the case, the civil case, which they are forsworn to do, but we would like those city council persons, to ask also for the resignation of these officers. That would be a big help.
Yeah, well, I'm not holding my breath that's going to happen, and if I were online, I'd be doing that. Anyway, my comment, actually, criticism was you suggested that I think you're right. They should resign. They should actually, you know, just walk over to jail and say, "I'm sorry, we committed second degree manslaughter. Please give it 6 months." But I don't think that's likely to happen. And I think it's the suggestion that they're eminently employable elsewhere is idiotic, because I think one of the serious problems with police misconduct is they just go shopping for another place to go get a badge. And I think that's really terrible. I think these people are eminently unemployable as police elsewhere, and they know that. Maybe they could get on somewhere else. They shouldn't, morally. And there's not a lot of truck driving jobs out there. So they're making, I don't know, with a lot of overtime, 70 grand or so. I don't think they're going to give their jobs up. So
well, Jeremy, I'm not going to disagree with you.
It's sort of, yeah. But anyway, I think it's really a mistake to suggest that they go be cops elsewhere.
Okay, Jeremy.
It's
well,
it's like passing your problem along to another place.
Thanks for your comments. Got to move on because we've got some other callers, but thanks a lot. Okay, well, let's squeeze in a couple more callers before Jason has to slip out. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, good. I'm sorry, I was a little fuzzy there. I worked for 25 years for the city of Portland at the 911 center, and 20 of those I spent producing public records for situations like this. And one of the things it seems to me that people ought to request right now is the recorded documents from the 911 centers regarding the officers. Look at what they talked about on the main radio channel prior to the event, during the event, and any side traffic on other channels after the event. That's used a lot by risk management as part of its preparing the whole thing for the case that they do. Mm-hmm. But now that you've got so much of the information released, there should be no reason that they wouldn't release that to the public. And I would request it as a non-paid-for release. Well, public records law is very clear on that, because you'd be using it so that the public, be the people to pay for this, mm-hmm. have an opportunity to look into it, review it, decide what's right and wrong about it.
The civil suit that's going on has a wide-ranging protective order, including thousands of documents. It is, from what we've been told, one of the largest protective orders ever in a federal court, and those tapes are under that protective order. Or we believe they are. Actually, the order itself is secret.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to move on now, but thank you very much for your comment. We know, Jason, that you have got to go because you have other things here to deal with. And
right.
And we appreciate you coming in today and sharing what your organization's doing and all your good work on trying to bring police accountability here to the city. If people want to follow up specifically around the work that Mental Health Association of Portland is doing and wants to support those efforts in any way, how would they get in touch with you?
The fastest way is through our website, which is www.mentalhealthportland.org.
Great. Well, again, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for being a longtime KBOO supporter, and best of luck this morning with your press conference.
Yes. Thank you very much.
I also appreciate the fabulous work that you do. You've been out in the trenches for quite a while, so thank you so much. And it's wonderful to know that you still have such a optimistic perspective of the world, so thank you.
And as we're flowing on this wave of optimism here, we're going to flow into those two fellows out there talking about pledging, because
yes,
that's an important thing to do, and we want you to be optimistic about supporting KBOO, don't we, Bill?
Absolutely. And you know what?
What?
Not only am I optimistic, but OB is optimistic as well.
Very much so.
And, you know, one of the things that always keeps me optimistic when I come down here and pitch is the programming is so good, and the atmosphere is so positive. It's another aspect of being truly in a community of like-minded people. Joanne and Dave and you know, the supervisor here in the phone answering room and Trout there behind the board. It just really, it's impressive. And you can become part of that. 503-232-8818. And if you are further away, let's say across the river in Clark County, you could call 877-500-5266, and it's toll-free. And then you can start giving money. An aside, I was wondering if KABU, as a news organization, could file a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information request, on those tapes. I just thought I'd throw that out. It's a news organization that we work for, among other things.
Well, you know, we could have the resources to do that if folks would get on the line and dial 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266 and make a pledge. And we're suggesting, Joanne and I are suggesting $60, mm-hmm. $5 a month. That's like a couple of cups of coffee. You won't feel it at all. It gets taken out of your account electronically by the magic of the internet. And in the same process, you are helping us to continue doing the sorts of things we do here, providing you with information you're not going to hear anywhere else. Isn't that right, Bill and Obi?
That is exactly right. You know, we're looking for 500 new members at $60 a year, and that is $12 a month. So what if we could get about five of those people to call in right now? You know, the show that you're listening to is really a very, very interesting show that brings a lot of information that you don't hear anywhere else. Voices from the Edge is very, very beneficial to those people who really care about other people. I consider KBOO, for instance, an extended family member. So get on the phone right now. Call 503-232-8818, a toll-free 877-500-5266. So if you want to get online, www.kboo.fm.
You know, OB, that was a wonderful statement that you made, extended family, KBOO. I actually consider it that as well. It's a family of like-minded community members who don't want to just sit on the sideline and watch things happen, but they want to be informed, engaged, and involved in making our community better. And that's why people become members, and that's why they'll go to the phone now and call 503-232-8818 or toll-free 877-500-5266. I can't tell you how many people I run into that say, oh, you know, I know your voice. I listen to your show all the time. Those are the people that we want to call, and we even have a thank you gift for them. We're giving all new members a T-shirt during this pledge drive because we want them to be able to proudly show that they're a part of the KBOO family.
That's right, and it's the T-shirt with the new logo, I understand, on it, which is Trey Swell. So, yeah, and it really is important. I mean, we know, as Joanna said, you know, we all run into folks who say they listen to KBOO, they may listen to our show, they listen to other shows, they really appreciate and enjoy KBOO. It's, you know, set on their programming dial on whatever device they're using to listen to our program with. But they also need to take that other step and be more engaged and involved by supporting KBOO, because it just doesn't happen by magic. The fact is, it takes money, and with an organization that does not rely on corporate dollars, on advertising, but instead on the support of the community, it's time for everyone to step up. So we need you now to call 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm and make a pledge. And we want you to make a pledge of $60, $5 a month. We'll be nice. We'll give you a new T-shirt, and we'll give you lots of good karma. You're going to feel really good because you're not only doing something right there and getting a good T-shirt, but you're also helping to sustain an alternative voice in the community.
One brief correction or clarification, I should say, that the T-shirts that we're giving for a less than $60, $20 to $60 pledge are the K-Blues T-shirt, the KBOO versus the Mediazillas, and the Flower Tower. The new one is a $75 pledge.
Well, there we go. That's an only $15 more. That's,
yes,
you know, once you've gone
a bagatelle.
Yeah, $60, 50, you know, 75. What, you know, that's not much of a jump.
Well, but there's an incentive right there, right? If you want the brand new logo T-shirt, then it's just going to cost $15 more. But, you know, we really appreciate folks who support the work that KBOO does, because whether it's Democracy Now! First thing in the morning, or whether it's Reggae Bob late in the day, KBOO brings every kind of programming imaginable for every kind of taste. And so maybe Voices from the Edge is not your thing, but if it's not your thing, I know you can find something on the dial that inspires you to pick up the phone and give us a call at 503-232-8818.
And don't forget that $75 T-shirt is only $6.25 a month. It's a, when you look at it in a month, it's even less of a jump.
Yes.
It's nothing. Get one.
That's very true. So we're going to go back to programming now, and we're going to come back because we want to make sure that we reach our goal this hour so that we can continue to bring you the kind of programming that we've been bringing you this morning.
Wait, I want to know about those people that don't think Voices from the Edge is their thing. I want names. I want to know who these people are.
Well, I think there are one or two that just listen and grit their teeth. Mainly because of the kind of programming we have on today, right? There
exactly.
are some people that think that we're just kind of anti-cop. And actually what we are is accountability advocates. Advocates for accountability.
Exactly, which goes to all aspects of our government.
That's
we
right.
need to see transparency and accountability. And speaking of which, that brings, you know, that other facet of this whole question, which is the contract between the Police Bureau the Portland Police Association and the city, which has been neither transparent and, from what I can guess, there's not a whole lot of accountability there.
Well, and I think, you know, you raise an excellent point, because every time the community has come together and asked for changes in police policy, the pushback has been, oh, we can't do that because the police contract won't allow us to do that. It wasn't until actually after we got the business card passed through the city council that I heard, well, actually, the city can negotiate anything they want to in the police contract. So the question is, why is the city not looking out for the community when they're doing these behind closed door contract negotiations with the police union? Now, what we know is that in 2010, so in a very short period of time, that contract is up for renewal. We don't have any idea of how those meetings are going right now. We have no idea of what Dan Saltzman as police commissioner is asking for in those contracts. But clearly, if we have incidents over and over and over again in our community that show that it is perfectly okay to stomp a community member to death, to taser people willy-nilly, mm-hmm. to be as aggressive as you possibly can, clearly we need to address that in the contract, because supposedly they're good, they're well-trained.
Well, you know, and to further complicate the issue, of course, is within the progressive community, there's been a long time effort to resist ultra-conservative moves to breach the contract negotiation process for
That's
public
right.
workers, because there are people like Bill Sizemore
right.
and his supporters who for a long time were trying to change the collective bargaining rules
right.
at the state level to say that some, you know, to allow this public input, which in fact would be trying to derail
mm-hmm.
get workers getting their rights. However, you know, we clearly have a problem here and we need to figure out what the solution is. And it seems to me, and you know, of course, the question is, how are we holding how do we hold the city accountable for their
right.
negotiating? Why isn't there clear and transparent dialogue going on with the community about this is what we want to go into the bargaining with, and this is what the community is bringing, and they have to answer back to us? And that doesn't happen, because, as you've noted, when you talk to the commissioners, they kind of just get glassy-eyed when you mention contract.
That's right. And so, you know, what's interesting is actually Chief Sizer even herself suggested in June of last year that police should have a police officer candidate should have to take polygraph tests, right? And I'm not sure if that's even going to be part of the contract negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, when you have police officers that are resigning because they're harassing female cadets, when you have them resigning because they're forcing sexual activity on community members, I think that's a really good idea, is to have them take polygraph tests in the beginning to find out if they really have the temperament to be community police officers. prior to them being hired onto the force. I think that's a great idea.
Well, I think, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say that anytime you're going to give someone a gun and give them, you know, an amazing powers over other individuals, you can't really scrimp at all on the screening process to decide who's going to be who's going to be able to do that. But we're going to quickly here just remind you why you need to keep tuned into KBOO this morning, and every morning, as a matter of fact, but we want you particularly here on Thursday mornings. Because at 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 9:30, a deeper look, on a deeper look, Linda Olson Osterlund interviews David Fedanke, executive director of the Oregon ACLU, about recent civil liberties victories. Hey, she's raiding our guests. David's usually on our show.
Uh-huh.
At 10, it's Air Cascadia with Chris Andre and Liam Delta. At 10:15 on Flashpoints, we hear from the biographer of longtime environmentalist Rod Coronado and from longtime activist Mike Rozelle. At 11, hear an interview with award-winning writer Tracy Kidder. His most recent book is Strength in What Remains, A Journey of Remembrance and Forgiveness. And at 11:30, a very special Words and Pictures featuring an interview with an African graphic novelist who wrote Smile Through the Tears, a graphic novel depicting the Tutsi family's struggle for survival. All that coming up and more on KBOO.
Wow.
And I think we have some phone calls. We're going to go to the phone lines. And if you want to join us in the conversation, you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. We have Will on the line. Good morning, Will.
Good morning. Yeah, before I launch into the, a mild critique here, I'd like to commend Joanne for her work on police accountability and police brutality. In a land far away, I was an attorney who got sick of handling court appointments for people whose faces were so badly beaten in that they couldn't tell me what they were going. I fought against police brutality, and for my trouble, I got beat up a couple of times by the police and several times by street gangs while the police sat in squad cars watching. So I know a little bit about the struggle, and I commend your work on this.
Thank you.
My question for you is, now that the Recall Sam Adams effort has gone down in flames, I'm wondering if this program is going to continue to promote that directly or indirectly, and if so, if there would be a fair debate amongst the sides of the issue, as opposed to putting a political dilettante on to rail all these bad reasons why progressives should somehow collude with the right wing and the homophobes to help the Republicans create a greater database for anti-progressive fights.
I
can tell you that the station has taken no position, nor has Voices from the Edge, on whether or not Sam Adams should be recalled. And, you know, what we try to do is bring the public whatever's going on currently so that they can be informed and get information. If, in fact, there's a recall effort that continues on into the future and makes the ballot, we will bring both sides on so that we can have a lively conversation about the pros and cons of recalling our mayor. But I don't want to give you the impression that we've at any time been champions of one side or the other of this recall Sam Adams effort.
And I should add, too, that in the process of setting that program up, we generally, when we contact a campaign, we encourage them to bring, you know, appropriate spokespeople and more than one so we can get as many perspectives. And in this case, Jason was the only fellow who came and showed up, so you know it was kind of in their court. So that was a situation to simply inform people that there was a campaign going on and give that campaign an opportunity to, you know, express their viewpoints and take some heat and have to answer some tough questions. So we're going to have to go, Will, because we're going to have to go back.
But y'all are my heroes again.
Thank you very much. And as heroes, we're going to go to two more heroes, Obi and Bill, to talk about an important thing we want everybody out there who's listening to do so they can become heroes as well.
That's right. Well, they're already heroes because they're here. I mean, they're here, they're volunteering their time, and they're helping us raise money to support the important work of KBOO.
Yes, we are great. Obi and I are great. Let's face it.
And humble.
Yes, that's especially what I'm about. I can't speak for OB because I'm humble. Okay, I actually want to make two quick comments about the whole police accountability thing. Many years ago, I was held up in New York City, and two of about six or eight people were arrested. I went to court. I'm sitting out on the bench waiting to go in to the courtroom, and the guy sitting next to me is a cop. And so we start talking, and he goes on at great length about what he sees as a cop. And, you know, that's when I realized that a cop's view of the world is spectacularly skewed, because they're looking for trouble and they're finding trouble, and they look at their world as though everybody is going to be causing trouble. And I think that the biggest problem is that those people above them, the police chief, the city commissioners, the mayor, are not constantly working with them to indicate to them that no, the people you see are the outliers. You know, the folks who, the way you should be looking at these people is that they're probably regular folk. Or a whole bunch of them are, and having a hard time, maybe, or whatever. And so I, as usual, go and look at management, the folks in charge, and I think they are both not doing right by the citizenry, but also by the cops. Because I think that you have to have that view discouraged.
Bill, you're stealing our thunder. That was our next segment here.
I'm sorry.
What have you done to us?
Oh, I'm sure you have more stuff. And also one other thing, which is the polygraphs are notoriously unreliable.
Well, that's true. And they're just an indicator. But you know what's not unreliable?
503-232-8818. That's what's not unreliable.
And our faith in our listeners who know that KBOO is a valuable resource in helping to generate real public discourse, and that value is
priceless.
Priceless, and that,
yes.
Well, it's not really priceless because
we're putting a price on it
this morning. And we want you to give us a call at 503-232-8818 or outside the Portland area, and we know many of our listeners are outside the Portland area because we get calls from you. Mm-hmm. You can call toll-free at 877-500-5266, or you can go online at kboo.fm. And while you're maybe looking at the podcast of past Voices from the Edge programs, hit that tip jar. Mm-hmm. Make a contribution, and we want you to make a contribution of $60, $5 a month electronically transferred from your account. That will give us the capacity to keep doing what we're doing, keep giving you quality programming.
And plus, you won't even feel it. I mean, $5 a month is even hard to get a cup of coffee for $5 a month nowadays. But we do want you to join the KBOO family because we know collectively we can do significant things to improve our community. And all you have to do is just pick up the phone and give us a call at 503-232-8818. And I heard all those cheerful people waiting to answer your call. They've been laughing and giggling all morning. And that, to me, is a very positive sign. That means that they are happy and excited to be here and can't wait to pick up the phone when you call. And you need to pick up the phone now and give us a call at 877-500-5266 if you're outside of the Portland metro area, or if just happy people in the morning don't inspire you, then you can feel free to go back online to kboo.fm. But we really want to appreciate all the incredible volunteers that volunteer their time to come here and make this pledge drive a success. Without you becoming a member, we cannot be on the air.
That's right. It's the volunteers and the listeners that are really doing the hard work. You know, Joanna and I got the easy job. We just get up here and yap, 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 which we do quite well. But, you know, it's all the other folks at KBOO who are making it happen. And most importantly, it's the listeners. Right. And
I got to say something here.
Yes.
Which is, unlike the three of us, OB hasn't gotten the idea that you just start talking. So let's give OB a chance to put in something.
You know, police officers have their policies and procedures, and judges usually go by the facts. Here is a fact. Nearly 90% of KBOO's annual revenues comes from individuals like you and me. And much of it is doing this fundraising drive. Become a member of the team. pledge your support and your money to KBOO. Become a new member. We're looking for 500 new members doing this pledge. And let's try and get five people to call in now. What's that, about 1%?
One tenth of 1%.
1/10 of 1%. Now, that's not asking too much. Five people at $60 for a membership doing this particular show. It's worth it, believe me. And I said earlier, Voices from the Edge, and I'm going to say it again, Voices from the Edge. So let's get over the cliff, let's get on this membership drive, and let's raise these funds.
Oh, and by the way, I was wrong. It is 1%, 5 of 100. I was thinking 5 of 5,000, the number of actual members we have.
Okay, math isn't our strong point here.
877-500-5266. I'm good with some numbers.
That's right. I was just going to say in 503-232-8818. What I love about KBOO is there's a place for everyone at KBOO. Whether you want to be a volunteer that actually comes in and answers the telephone, whether you want to be a programmer, whether you want to work with the program committee, there are so many jobs that volunteers do to support the fabulous work of KBOO that you can find a place where you can actually use your talent to make our community better. But in order for us to do that, we need paying members that actually support the work of the organization, and $5 a month. You know, even in these economic times, $5 a month will not put anybody over the edge. And so we want to encourage you to pick up the phone and give us a call at 503-232-8818. I can just feel the energy and excitement in Pledge Central. I can just hear the excitement of the volunteers that are back there waiting for your call now.
So we're just going to go back to the program and have our folks answering those phones and counting the money. Thank you for your support. Well, you know, before, you know, we're running out of time
here.
Bill did raise that issue about management, which I think is kind of an important piece, because there is something there where there is the opportunity for much more transparency in how the city deals with the management, because bad officers out in the field come and go, but bad management seems to just be a permanent fact of life around Portland Police Bureau to me.
Well, I mean, and I agree, actually, this is rare, you'll never hear this again, I'm sure, that I actually agree with the Oregonian when they say that the police bureau really belongs under the mayor, and the mayor has to take a much more active role in actually ensuring that police are accountable to the community. When I read on September 23rd about this police officer that was under criminal investigation for a year, but still getting his annual salary of $71,659 while he was being investigated for utilizing prostitutes on duty and off, he ultimately resigned just a couple of weeks after this article came out. But so here we're paying this guy for a whole year while they're investigating, and then the resolution is that he resigns and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So these are just the issues that make the paper. It's really, I'm beginning to wonder just how many never make the paper, how many police misconduct cases are never filed because community members have no trust in a review process that's going to review officers. And unless they have community witnesses that are quote-unquote perceived to be credible, then they have no hope of actually having a just outcome.
Well, you know for a fact, as we both do, that during that period when the old police PIAC, accountability system was being, quote, reformed,
right,
that, you know, the speak outs and community meetings we were holding, tremendous numbers of people come out of the woodwork who basically said, you know, had these compelling stories.
Right.
And we were often hearing, you know, we were the first ones to hear about this beyond the family members. So we're going to go back to the phone lines quickly while we still have a few minutes left. And so let's take our next caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. One thing I don't understand about people, why they don't consider police beating up, whether it's mentally ill or protesters or people that fight in wars or continue wars, mentally ill. That's one thing people don't seem to get. That is mentally ill behaviors, and you don't need degrees to see that.
Amen to that.
Thank you for that observation.
Yes, right. No, you don't need a whole lot of initials behind your name. What I hope is that our listening audience actually will start asking the city council questions. When is the police contract coming up? What are the changes that you're proposing to the police contract? How are you going to ensure that the public is protected through the Portland police contract? How do you make sure that the police are accountable for their behavior? And this type of excessive behavior that we've talked about, that taxpayers have already spent over $4.5 million to actually pay out because of the brutality that was involved. How do we make sure that we're not spending money in that fashion? What do we need to do to change how Portland police are trained so that they are like human when they're out on the street and engaging with community members? I mean, I think those are the kind of questions that the community has the right to get answers to from the police commissioner and the mayor. And I absolutely agree that the mayor has a responsibility as mayor of the city of Portland.
Right. And if they are not comfortable with taking on those responsibilities, then there needs to be a further discussion about what other sort of system or structure do we create to ensure that we have an accountable police bureau. I just add also that you know, this is also to the benefit of the officers who do their job,
right.
And I believe there are the vast majority of the officers trying to do their job, but you know, this is not only allowing the bad officers to go unpunished, it's creating an impossible environment for anyone who really did enter policing because they had a desire to do community
right.
service. So we really need to address it in that respect as well.
And you know, I read an article recently that said Chief Sizer actually went and testified at a suit where a community member said that they were brutalized by a police officer using excessive force. Chief Sizer actually testified in the community member's behalf. And so even the chief clearly understands that there are times and situations where officers are using force when it's not appropriate and they're using excessive levels of force. So if the chief understands that and the police commissioner has been totally silent on it and the mayor has been totally silent, it's time for us to fix this system.
Well, we're out of time, but we don't want you to be silent either on the issue of police accountability. As Joanne says, get on the phone or get on your email and start talking to the mayor and to police commissioner Saltzman about bringing some change. And as long as you're in phoning mode, we want you to call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266 and make a pledge. We're in our fall pledge drive. We really need your support so we can keep doing what we're doing out here to serve you.
And we want to thank Bob and OB for joining us this morning and actually being a part of making sure that KBOO continues. I'm Joanne Bowman.
And I'm Dave Mazza.
See you next week. Same time, same place, same channel.